Live from NPR News, I'm Giles Snyder. Former President Donald Trump's Senate impeachment trial is resuming this hour. Senators are to vote after hearing closing statements. At least 17 Republicans would have to side with Democrats to convict Trump of the single charge against him. There have been speculation focused on Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, but McConnell has told colleagues this morning that he intends to vote to acquit. A Republican congresswoman is detailing a key phone call that gets to the heart of the case against Trump. Here's NPR's Amy Held.
Jamie Herrera Butler, Republican representative from Washington, was one of just 10 House GOP members to vote for Trump's impeachment. At the time, she cited his January 6th phone call with top House Republican Kevin McCarthy, last night detailing what she says was relayed to her about that conversation. McCarthy implored the president to call off the riot. Trump, in her telling, said it was Antifa, with McCarthy pushing back, saying it was the president's own supporters. Trump's response? They must be more upset about the election than you. The case against the former president says he not only summoned the mob, but failing to stop it was a dereliction of duty. Herrera Butler is asking those who witnessed the call to step forward, but as the trial winds down, it's unclear what impact her appeal might have. Amy Held, NPR News.
The Georgia state legislature is scheduled to start debating bills in the coming week that would place increased restrictions on mail-in voting. Emil Moffitt is with member station WABE.
After Joe Biden became the first Democrat to carry Georgia in nearly 30 years, the state's Republicans, pushing baseless claims of voter fraud, began advocating for change. One GOP bill would force voters to include a photo ID when applying for and returning an absentee ballot. Another would ban ballot drop boxes. Yet another piece of legislation, which has garnered less support from top Republicans, would eliminate no-excuse absentee voting, something that's been in place since 2005. Georgia Democrats say the bills are aimed at making voting harder for low-income and minority residents. For NPR News, I'm Emil Moffitt in Atlanta.
The World Health Organization says it's made progress toward finding the origin of the COVID-19 pandemic. NPR's Michaeline Duclef reports on an international team of scientists that have been in Wuhan, China.
Speaking at a press conference in Geneva, the leader of the mission, Dr. Peter Ben-Imbarek, says scientists now know that the coronavirus was circulating widely in Wuhan in December 2019, both inside and outside of the Hunan seafood market where a big outbreak occurred.
So we have a much, much better understanding of what happened there in December. Much better understanding of what happened in the market, the role of the market, but this is only the first step.
Dr. Imbert says the team still doesn't know how the coronavirus got into the Hunan market. They're investigating both fresh and frozen meat as possible sources of the virus.
You're listening to NPR News. In Myanmar, demonstrators against the February 1st coup returned to the streets for an eighth straight day today. Neither the military nor the protesters showing any signs of backing down. Michael Sullivan reports from neighboring Thailand.
Protesters turned out in large numbers in Myanmar's biggest city, Yangon, and in its second largest, Mandalay, to the north, despite a ban on gatherings of more than five people. Today's demonstrations occurred on the birthday of General Aung San, Myanmar's independence leader and the father of Aung San Suu Kyi, the civilian leader of the democratically elected government now held by the military. Authorities continue to arrest politicians and activists seen to be opponents of the coup. The military says it carried out the takeover because of widespread fraud in last November's general election, an election Aung San Suu Kyi's party won in a landslide. For NPR News, I'm Michael Sullivan in Chiang Rai.
Tennis is being played today at the Australian Open, but without crowds at Melbourne Park. Melbourne and the rest of the state of Victoria have entered a five-day lockdown in response to a coronavirus outbreak linked to a quarantine hotel at the Melbourne airport. Victoria Premier Daniel Andrews says there are 20 confirmed cases in the cluster.
I know that a lot of people will be hurting today. This is not the position that Victorians wanted to be in. But I can't have a situation where in 2 weeks' time we look back and we wish we had taken these decisions now.
Andrew says play at the Australian Open will be allowed because the competitors are at their workplace, a final scheduled for next weekend. I'm Giles Snyder, NPR News.